holding of some valid on an aleph, the second line. The Mishnah said shlosha dvarim tchula. There are three things that were done by the. Altogether, the Mishnah said there are six avodas that are done by the southwestern corner of the mizbeach. Three on the top half, three on the bottom. So we said on the top half was the chatas ha'oif, the nisuch ha'mayim, and the nisuch ha'yayim. We said that the three on the bottom half are the chatas ha'oif, the hagosha of the mincha. We learned yesterday that a mincha, the keli containing the mincha, has to be touched to the southwestern corner of the mizbeach, and the pouring of shirei hadam, the remainder of the blood of most korbanos. So the Gemara says, "Chatas ha'oif hadam mora." And as far as the chatas ha'oif is by the southwestern corner, we learned that previously, is because the pasuk compares it to the hagosha of a mincha, and the hagosha, as we learned, because one pasuk says al pnei hamizbeach, and the other one says lifnei Hashem, then therefore that means the southwestern corner. Hagosha is dichtiv yigisha al pnei hamizbeach. Hagosha is it says he should touch it to the face of the mizbeach. Now there's actually no such pasuk, so it's either yigisha al mizbeach, just that he should touch it to the mizbeach, or because the other pasuk says al pnei hamizbeach. So apparently they just kind of like combined together. The copyist mistakenly combined together parts of two pasukim. Anyway, we said that the point is hagosha is supposed to be by pnei hamizbeach, which is the south, as well as it has to be elsewhere. It says lifnei Hashem, which means on the west, and therefore that means the southwest corner. And again, the chatas ha'oif we said is compared to that. Shirei hadam, as far as that the remainder of blood has to, as far as the remainder of blood of korbanos, specifically we mean of most korbanos except for the chatoris hapnimius, because the chatoris hapnimius, as we learned in the previous parak, the shirayim of their blood are poured on the western side. Anyway, so other than that, tichtiv ve'eskodah po yishvecho yisaidam ezbeach, all the rest of the blood of the power he should pour onto the yisoid of the mizbeach. And that means, as we learned in the previous parak, that means that he should be pouring it on the part of the yisoid that's closest to him when he comes off the ramp of the mizbeach. And since, as we learned, the ramp is on the south side, that means he's going to be pouring it on the south side of the yisoid. However, as we also learned, there's no yisoid on most of the south side, or at least not on part of the south side, so therefore he has to do it on the southwestern corner. So that explains why those three things are done by the southwestern corner, and why it is that, that they're done davka on the bottom half. Okay, next milamayla, we said on the top half of the mizbeach at that corner, the southwestern corner, you have nisuch hamayim v'hayayin, the pouring of water on sukkahs and wine throughout the year, v'olas ha'oif kshirah b'mizrach, and the olas ha'oif when there's a lot of them in the east. Normally, they would be doing them in the southeast, as we're going to be discussing further on. When there was no room, when there were a lot of bird oilus being brought, and therefore it's crowded over there, then they would be doing it on the then they do it instead on the southwestern corner. So the Gemara says, my timer, let's focus on that one. The Nisuch HaMayim and the Yayin, we understand why it's done by that corner, because that's where the Shisin are located. And as we learned a few days ago, in the first Beis Mikdash, the Shisin was outside the Mizbeach, and then they enlarged the Mizbeach on the second Beis Mikdash and made it part of the Mizbeach itself. But why, my timer, why is it that the Olas Ha'oif is preferably done in the southeast corner, and then if you don't have room, then you do it in the southwest corner? Why dafka that? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechanan Amar Mipeshe Kroiva Mibeis Hadeshen, because the southeastern corner is the closest one to the Beis Hadeshen. Now the pasuk before, the Beis Hadeshen is the place where they would place the every day when they do dishon hamizbeach, when they do trumas hadeshen and take a pan full of ashes off the mizbeach, there would be a place on the floor. And the Gemara is going to quote soon from a Mishnah where exactly it was, where they would place the ashes over there. And in addition, also, as we're going to go on to quote, they would also put over there when they cleared off the ashes and the remains of the burnt tortoise from the inner mizbeach, and also the leftover wicks and oil and whatnot from the menorah, all of those would be placed in the same place, and all of those would be swallowed up into the ground. Tosfos discusses actually whether all of them were swallowed up, or maybe only some of them. But in any case, the point is they had this specific spot on the floor where that was done. Now, the Torah also tells us by an oila of a bird, the Torah tells us that the Kohen, after he does Malika, which we're going to talk about on Amud Beis, then he has to take the Mura v'noitha. Mura means the digestive organs, so it includes the froth and the stomach, and the noitha, where there's different mafoshim, understand, noitha either means the feathers, or it means the waste that's inside those digestive organs, and he has to throw them to the Beis HaDeshen. He has to throw it down towards the east side of the Mizbeach to the place of the Deshen. Rashi mentions on the Pasuk, the reason is because birds fly around and they take food from wherever they find it, so therefore the bird has eaten stolen food, and Hashem says, therefore I don't want it on the Mizbeach. So therefore, the rest of the bird's body of an Ola Sa'oif is going to be burnt on the Mizbeach, but those organs not. In any case, the point is he has to throw them to the Beis HaDeshen, and the Beis HaDeshen was, as we're going to quote soon, near the southeast corner of the Mizbeach. So it makes sense to have the main place for the Olas HaOif be by the southeast corner as well. However, when it was crowded over there, then they would go to the southwest corner and do it over there. So that explains why those two. That explains why those two corners. So you have to throw it. Tosfos elsewhere points out that the Mefarish and in Masech Tamin as well point out that in Halacha throwing is defined as a minimum of 20 amos. So therefore, and we're going to quote soon where the Beis HaDeshen is, that it is in fact 20 amos or so away from that southeastern corner. So he could be doing the Ola Sa'if over there, and therefore he's throwing it, and that's that. Tosfos wonders actually why he needs to go all the way to the corner. Fine, you're telling me that if he can't do the southeast corner, then he goes to the southwest. But why does he have to go all the way to the corner? Tosfos wonders. Why doesn't he? Then he's getting further and further away from the Beis HaDeshen. And Tosfos says maybe because the blood always has to be placed on the corner of the Mizbeach, but no, not necessarily. So the Shittim Kovetzis discusses it and says that in fact it's a Tosfos had asked from an earlier Gemara, earlier in our Perek, that not necessarily does it need the corner, but in fact Shittim Kovetzis points out that actually the Gemara is not saying over there that it doesn't. The Gemara leaves that point aside because it has a different answer to the point that was talked about over there on Daf Samach. But in fact the halacha is that blood always has to be applied by the corner, and therefore that explains. So if he can't do it by the southeast corner, then he's going to do it by the southwest corner, even though yes, that means that he's a little further away from the Beis HaDeshen than otherwise. So that's why those two places. So Amar Rav Yechanan, in this connection, Rav Yechanan says, Boyer Eikam a God of Koychan Shal Koyanim. Come see how powerful and strong the Koyanim are. She'em lacha kalva oifis yosim in Mura v'noitza. There's nothing in a bird that's lighter than the Mura v'noitza, these digestive organs and the waste or the feathers, however you define noitza. It's a very lightweight thing. And you know that something lightweight is very hard to throw a distance. Take, for example, sometimes wad up a piece of paper and try throwing it and see how far you get. And yet, and sometimes the Kohen would end up throwing it over 30 amas. Because if he's doing it by the southeast corner, then it's only 20 amas, because then he's throwing in a direct line to the Beis HaDeshen, which, as we're going to quote now, is 20 amas away from the Mizbeach. But if he has to do it by the southwest corner, then he has to throw it across the width of the Mizbeach and across the Kevesh, and all the diagonal comes out to over 30 amas. So Titnan, how do we figure out it's over 30 is like this. Titnan, we learn in Masech Tamid when it discusses that how the Kohen does the Trumas HaDeshen, and again we said the Trumas HaDeshen, he places them on the floor near the Mizbeach in the Beis HaDeshen. So Noto Machta Shal Kesef, he would take a silver pan, V'olo L'Rosh HaMizbeach, and go up to the top of the Mizbeach, Opinia Sagecholim Eloch Ve'Eloch, and move and clear away the coals in one direction direction or another, because he doesn't want the coals that are only partially burned. V'chosim in amu kolis apnimius. He would use the shovel to pick up some of the inner coals that are the most well burned, because they have to be deshen, and have to be ashes, so they have to be like where they're already falling apart and becoming ashes. The Yorid, and he comes down off the Mizbeach. He gives the Ritzva. Once he reaches the floor, once he reaches the bottom of the Kevesh, Machzir Ponev Klapik Sofen, then he turns towards the north. Remember, we said the Kevesh is on the south side, so now he makes a U-turn, heading north, back towards the Mizbeach. V'horlecha Mizrach Eshel Kevesh Ke'eser Amos, and he walks about 10 Amos along the east side of the Kevesh. And then he piles the coals on the floor, 3 tefachim away from the kevesh. So the reason why it's 10 amos from the end, we were just saying that Tosfos elsewhere explains that the reason is because it has to be thrown, because again, we're talking about the mura and notes that have to be thrown, the hishlich, and the definition of throwing in halacha, that is a minimum 20 amos. So therefore, since the kevesh is 32 amos long, so if you have spot, the base addition is 10 amos from the end of the kevesh, then it's 20, then it comes out, well, actually we said the other day that the kevesh was 32, but we said it really only takes up 30 amos of floor space, so 10 amos from the end of the kevesh will be 20 amos from the mizbeach. The reason why it's 3 tefachim away from the kevesh, Mephoshim give a couple of reasons. One of them is a practical one, so that you still have their hot that floor when he puts them on the floor, you don't want the smoke of them to discolor the mizbeach. So he placed them there. Mokum shenosin mura v'notza. That was the same place again where they would put the mura and notza of an olasoif. The dishin mizbeach apnimi. That is also where they would place the ashes that they took from the mizbeach apnimi when they cleaned it every day. The menora and the ashes and leftover wicks and whatnot that they had from the menora. They would place all those places. They would place all those in the same place. And again, Tosfos discusses elsewhere. The Gemara says that they were nivloyin, that they would get swallowed up into the ground. But so does that mean all of them? Tosfos says not necessarily. The Gemara elsewhere mentioned the dishon mizbeach apnimi and the dishon menorah that would get swallowed up into the ground, not necessarily the trumas hadeshen. On the other hand, Tosfos says here and some other places talks about that maybe they were actually swallowed up. Nevertheless, elsewhere the Gemara talks about that Mi'ilah would still apply to them, in the sense a person could conceivably dig into the ground over there and uncover some of those ashes and use them, and Mi'ilah would still apply back Zeres HaKosim. The point is that was the spot. So now let's consider then. So Rashi goes into a whole elaborate calculation over here as follows. If he's doing the Ola Sa'oif by the southwestern corner, then what you have is from him until the Beis HaDeshen is a diagonal of a square of 22 by 22. Because, like this, Rashi learns he's not standing on the Sovir when he's doing this. He's standing actually, the Ola Sa'oif again is done on the top half of the Mizbeach, but Rashi learns he's not standing on the Sovir. Because if he did, then he would have to come all the way back around. Rashi learns, like this, the Gemara had talked about previously, that there are two little ramps branching off the main Kevesh and going, and one going up to the Sovir to the right, and one going down to the Sovir to the left. But Rashi learns those were the only two. Therefore, if he goes around the Sovir, he's all about Kevesh or funnel of Sovir, and he goes counterclockwise around the Mizbeach, if he winds up by the southwestern corner, and we're saying he has to when it's crowded by the southeastern corner, how is he going to get back? He's going to have to go all the way back around. So instead, it actually means that he would actually go to the top of the Mizbeach at that point and do the Ola Sa'if over there. So Rashi calculates then, even if he gets, so again, he has to be though near the corner. So you have like this. The Kevesh itself is 16 amos wide. The Mizbeach is 32 amos wide. The place of the Beis HaDeshen, we're saying, is 3 tefachim away from the Kevesh. So therefore, you have the 16 amos width of the Kevesh, and he is by the corner. You have 8 amos from the corner of the Mizbeach until the beginning of the Kevesh, so 16, and it's exactly centered in the middle of the Mizbeach. But again, Rashi learns he's on top of the Mizbeach, so you have to subtract a couple of amos, because you have the Yisoid and the Sovid. So you have 6 amos. So 6 amos from where he's standing until at the corner of the top of the Mizbeach, until the Kevesh, 16 for the Kevesh itself, that's 22 in that direction. And then in the other direction you have, again, the Mokum HaDeshen is 20 amos away from the body of the Mizbeach, 20 amos away from the Yisoid, which is 22 amos away from the top of the Mizbeach. So you have, both east-west and north-south, you have a distance of 22. So he's throwing at a diagonal of 22 by 22. And a diagonal of 22 by 22, you calculate, is going to be 31 and change. The Gemara's usual formula for it is that the diagonal is 1.4 times the length of the side. So if you did it that way, it would come out actually under 31, but the Gemara is perfectly well aware, Tosfos points out elsewhere, that 1.4 is not exact. It's a round figure. It's actually an irrational number. So when you use the actual, when you use something closer to the actual value, the square root of 2, then you actually find it comes out mathematically a little over 31. It comes out to like 31 and 1/9 amma or something.
Yes. In the Reuven over there.
In Eruvin, yeah.
That's in called the gold writing,
right. So Tosfos discusses over there, right. The Gemara mentions that formula that every one amma on the side corresponds to 1.4 on the diagonal. And yeah, Tosfos points out that that's a round figure and gives a whole geometric diagram to demonstrate that it's so. So the fact is, it is a round figure. It's a square root of 2, which is approximately 1.414. The Gemara is rounding it to 1.4 to make the calculation easier. But over here, we have the fact, once we're talking 22 by 22 amas, you have to add that in, and therefore you get over 31 amas. Rashi goes on to say that even, for example, you're going to say that, let's say he stands a little bit further, he stands a little bit closer to the Kevesh, but on the other hand, But the fact is, since he's standing on the top of the Mizeach, so that makes him further away from the Mokam Adeshin. So in other words, no matter what, even if it's not 22 by 22, you're going to have 21 by 23, it's still approximately the same, diagonal, and he has to throw it that distance. Tosfos and Shittu Kubetzes further talk about more details on that. In particular, Tosfos says that actually, not like Rashi, it may be that he's not necessarily standing on top of the Mizeach, he may well have been standing on the Soviv. But it still makes about the same calculation. There's an interesting vort, an interesting musadik vort from Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz that says, well, physically, how is that possible? The fact is, I mean, we're talking about something really lightweight. How do you throw it over 30 amas? And he says, you know, we find in Tfilas Geshem, we have the line, Yichav Lev Gol Evan Mipi Be'er Mayim, that Yaakov concentrated, he united his heart with Eibusha and rolled off that heavy stone off the well. So what does it mean? Does Yaakov have great muscles? No, it means he completely connected himself in thought to Eibusha, and that gave him superhuman power. He says the same thing with the Kohenim over here. When we're talking about that they can throw this Mordech Benoitz of 30-odd amas, and not because they have big muscles, it's because they're completely focused on the Eidishter, and that gives them unusual powers. So the Gemara asks, so you're saying that he would throw it more than 30 amas, but the question is, why are we saying more than 30? It's actually over 31. And the answer is Machem Gavri Lechoshe, because you have to subtract the space that the person himself is standing, and a person takes about an amma by an amma, so therefore it comes out to slightly over 30.
That's your answer.
So that is it, right.
How were they able to throw it? Because Machem Gavri Lechoshe, they have no Matthias.
They have no Matthias of their own. Interesting, very good. Very nice, okay. So therefore, instead of 31 point whatever, it's 30 point whatever, and therefore, yeah, that's what the Braisa said before when it's over 30 amps. Then we said in the Mishnah, so that explains again, so that's the bottom line, that's why we're saying that the Ola Sa'if is ideally to be done in the southeast, that way he doesn't have to throw it as far, that way he only has to throw it 20 amas, but if it's crowded over there when he has to do it by the southwestern corner, then he does it anyway and he throws it the over 30 amas. Next, Kol Olam L'Mizbeach, we said anybody who goes up to the Mizbeach usually goes up and goes counterclockwise. And we said that they go up Derech Yamin, they go up to the right side, and they go around and they come out on the left side, except for a person who goes up for one of the following three avodas, where he goes up and returns exactly and retraces his footsteps exactly. So the three things were, we said, when he's going to do an Ola Sa'if on the southwestern corner, and when he's going to do Nisuch HaMayim and Nisuch HaYayim. So my timer, why is that? Because of the nesachim, the wine or the water, if he has to go all the way around the Mizbeach, it's going to get full of smoke, and that'll make it, it's not glory to bring before the Eidosh. As the Pasuk puts it, you wouldn't bring something damaged or substandard before even your governor, how much more so not before the Eidosh. In Halacha, by the way, you have, you know, when it comes to, if you have wine that absorbed the smell of smoke, is it kosher for Kiddush? The big machlokas aposkim, whether the rule is, based on a Gemara in Bava Basra, whether the rule is that wine for Kiddush has to have the same rules as wine for the Nesachim, or whether it doesn't have to be exactly the same, but still, something like that damages it is definitely off limits. They talk about in connection with Yain Mevushal, for example. You can't use Yain Mevushal for the Nesachim. And they say that maybe that's different, that improves the wine rather than degrades it, and therefore it would be kosher for Kiddush. But smoke, for example, definitely degrades it. But the Shas Emes wonders about a Balabatish question. Why didn't you just carry the Kaveh with a cover on it? And that way, smoke won't get into it. Maybe he leaves the question open. So there's that. And the Oil Asalif, Shema Thomas Varsham. You can't do the Oil Asalif by going all the way around the Mizbeah. Because again, with the smoke of the Mizbeah, it may die of the smoke by the time he goes around. So therefore, he has to go directly left to the south, to the southwest corner. Okay. The Gemara says a Ramin. Though I have a contradiction to that, because the Mishnah in Tumid describes the Seder when the Kohen Gadol was doing the Avodah. Now, normally you have a regular Kohen, but then you have time. The Kohen Gadol could choose to do the Avodah anytime he wants, and pick whatever Avodah he wants. So now, Bolo Lahakifis on his Mizbeach. So the Mishnah describes. So first it says that if he wants to burn the Evonim on the Mizbeach, then the Kohen would hand them to him one by one, and he would throw them into the fire. And then the Mishnah continues, Bolo Lahakifis on his Mizbeach. Now he comes and starts surrounding and walking around the Mizbeach to do the Nisach HaMayim, to do the Nisach HaYayin, if it was Sukkah, it's also the Nisach HaMayim. So he would go around, Me'ayin Humas, so where does he begin? So as usual, Me'ayin Dremis Mizrachis, southeast, Mizrachis Tzfonis, northeast, Tzfonis Ma'arovis, northwest, Ma'arovis Dremis, southwest, V'nosin La'ayin L'nasach, and they give him the wine to pour. Now the Gemara understands that it doesn't mean they now give it to him. The Gemara understands that it means that he was holding the wine the whole time. So we see we're not concerned about smoke. And the answer is Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hakofa Beregel. It means he was only walking around on his feet. He didn't actually have the wine in his hand. It's just a mitzvah ba'alma. Since usually a person goes up to the Mizbeach, he's going to go all around the Mizbeach, and he usually turns to the right, as the Gemara had learned the other day from the Pasuk. Here, he went up there originally in order to burn pieces of the Korbanos. So now, when he's going to go, he's not going to go straight to the southwest corner to do the Nisach HaMayim and Nisach HaYayim. He'll go around the Mizbeach like everybody else does. But that's because the point is, it actually says, because he already went up there for a different Avodah. He already went, so, and again, he'd be in the Kohen Gadol. He can do as many Avodahs as he wants without having to wait his turn. So therefore, once he's up there for one Avodah, then he continues and goes round the Mizbeach, as opposed to other Kohenim who go up only from Nisach HaMayim or Nisach HaYayin. Then they don't go all the way around, because like we said, the problem is the smoke, and therefore they can turn directly left.
Rashi answers what I was thinking of the Pope Pinus at the Pinus. Rashi says right away,
the Shadvarim. When he goes for anything else, yeah, they're supposed to turn to the right.
Because of
this problem of the smoke and all, then therefore he can't do that. But nevertheless, here when he did it already for one avoda, then he has to continue in that vein and continue going and continue going to the right. So it was one of the Mephoshim in the back, and the Mukhi Agriv wonders. I mean, what was the Gemara even thinking? Mishnah clearly says Noistim Lo Yayin Lanaser. So he explains that maybe actually the Makshin was not fully familiar with the Mishnah, or maybe Ein Muktam Ma'ucher, and it means that they previously gave him the wine, or Nosna Lo Yayin L'Nasach, maybe he tells that they tell him, go ahead and do the Nisuch. So the Gemara had understood that, but Rabbi Yochanan is explaining that no, it actually means they would only give him the wine when he reached that corner, precisely because we don't want him walking all around the Mizbeach with a container of wine. Amar Rava, Dekanami, Rava says, in fact, you can see that from the diuk of the Mishnah, Dekatani noisim lo yayin l'nasach, because the exact words is they give him the wine to do the nisuch, but like Katani, umrim lo nasach, it doesn't just say they tell him to do the nisuch. So that proves that he's not actually walking around with the wine in his hand, and only they saw Koyan standing on the floor will hand it up to the Koyan Gadol when he's standing there up on the sogev or the top of Mizbeach or whatever. Talking more about this point of going to the right and then going to the left. Anybody who goes up to the Mizbeach, like we said, goes up the right side. I mean, they, not just that they turn to the right, but when they're going up the Kevesh in the first place, they walk along the right side of the Kevesh, the Yodin Derech Smol, and when they come down, then they're coming down on the left side of the Kevesh. So they go up the right side.
They use
the side ramp. The side ramp is if they're going to the Sojourn.
We're talking about here
when they're going all the way to the top of the Mizbeach, for example, to burn the Korban.
Right side instead of here.
So instead of going straight up the middle of the Kevesh, instead they go up the right, they go up.
Almost
like two lanes of traffic going up and going down, yeah. The Mishnah in Yuma, by the way, mentions that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol didn't have that rule. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol would walk up and down the middle, like he's showing like he's at home there. He's a Ben Bias in front of the Eivishna on Yom Kippur. So he could walk up and down the middle, like this is his place. And then the Mishnah, there's one of the Tanoim, says over there that on Yom Kippur, any other Kohenim who are assisting in various parts of Avodah also get to walk in the middle, mitzad that. But other than that, the rest of the year, we're saying that, yeah, they keep to the right, or they keep to the right, definitely. Which means to say they go up along the eastern side of the Kevesh, because again the Kevesh is on the south side of the Mizbeach, so the right lane on the Kevesh is going to be towards the east, the Yodin Derech Meirav, and then when they've finished what they did on the Mizbeach, then they come down the western side of it, which again was the left lane. With the exception, he said, of the person who goes up for one of these three things, the Nisuch HaMayim, Nisuch HaYayin, and the Ola Sa'os, the Olin Derech Meirav, the Yodin Derech Meirav, they go up on the west side, and they come down on the west side, Olin Derech Yimin, the Yodin Derech Yimin, meaning that they're coming up the right side, and they're going down the right side. So it must mean Derech Yimin, Derech Smohu. That means they're going up and down the left side, because when they're going up, they're going up in the left lane. So what does that mean? So the Gemara gives a few answers. Amar Ravina, Tommy Smell. So Ravina says, fine, you have to correct the Braisa and say what it means is that when he's on the west side of the ramp of the Mizbeach, then it means he's on the left side. So you're right, fine, the Tana got his directions mixed up. Rav Amar, my Yamin de Mizbeach, my Smell de Gabra. Rav gives a different answer. You know what? We can talk about relative to the Mizbeach or relative to the person. When we talk about that he's going Derech Yamin, look at it from the perspective of the Mizbeach. But coming down from the Mizbeach, the west side of the Kevesh would be on the right side, because when you're facing away from the Mizbeach, and again, if we said the ramp is considered like the face of the Mizbeach, so to speak, so like you have the body of the Mizbeach, and then you have its face, so that'll be the right side of its face will be the west side of the ramp. So therefore, when it says that he goes up Derech Yimin, means on that side, it means from standing from the perspective of going up from the floor, it would be the left side. Well, my smell de Gabra, when we say the left, as far as other people who are going up from the Mizbeach, means the left relative to the person. Because we're saying that he goes up on the right side and he comes down in a direction that relative to where he started out on the floor is on the left. So the Gemara says, the Nisni, Oy Aidi Va'aidi de Mizbeach, Oy Aidi Va'aidi de Gabra, why are we switching backward? Why are we switching perspective like that? Either talk about all of it from the perspective of the Mizbeach, or all of it from the perspective of the person standing on the floor. What are you switching around and you're going to get mixed up like that? This is Kasha. You're right, that's a Kasha on Rava's explanation. It's not a Tiyukta. We haven't slugged him up, but it's hard to understand, according to him, why the Braisa faith phrased it in such a seemingly misleading way. However, then we have Ravina's answer, which requires us to actually correct the wording of the Braisa, so that's, yeah, so neither one, in other words. Each answer has different, you say it, basically. What were you going to say?
It's interesting, because by when the Gemara discusses the Gemara really brings a raya from the
Yamshul Shlema, yeah. Yeah.
From Yamshul Shlema and...
Well, first the Gemara brings a proof that the ramp itself is on
the Aravis.
No, the Gemara didn't mention. The other day, we didn't mention the Aravis in that connection.
Does it bring up the kafas that the Kohanim would do?
No. Because then actually say in the Mishnah which direction they would do it, based on Kol Pinchas
Unless it's in
they would go counterclockwise around the Mizbeach, right. The same way then we go counterclockwise when we do Hakafas, when we do Hashinus and Hakafas, yeah.
So, I think someone may,
give an
I remember, correct, someone may bring this thing.
Okay.
Do we go Lagabe?
Do we go Lagabe the person or Lagabe the Mizbeach?
Is it the person or is it the Aron?
Right.
Which way do you, is it
saying? Mm-hmm.
Is it you facing the Aron or is it when you turn around?
You're looking from
the Aron. I think they bring Dennis the Kalim, bring Hadassim when we do Hakafas.
Mm-hmm.
And for Araya from the Kayanim. When they turn around, their back is to the Hechel, their back is to the Aron. So
yes, an interesting point, Rav Ushnik makes an interesting point in this connection. He says that instinctively, if you have to look at something behind you, you're going to tend to turn the right side of your body and look over your left shoulder. So he says when he said kopinis shatapoina is basically the chama codifying that as this natural tendency that a person has, stick to that when you're going to be turning. So when you're going to be turning. So in other words, you're making a left turn, but let's say when you're facing the Mizbeach or when you're facing the Bima or whatever, it means you're moving to your right. So let's start talking about the procedures of the various bird korbanos. You have chatas oif and you have oilas oif. There's a lot of differences between them. In fact, in some ways, they're backwards. For example, the chatas oif, the blood has to be applied to the bottom half of the mizbeach, the oilas oif to the top half. With animal korbanos, the other way around, chatas top half, oila bottom half. I once saw a vort on that, something along the lines of, A person brings a chatas because they did an aveira. A person brings an oila because, like, it can be because of hira aveira or whatever, but it can also be completely as nedava. So something along the lines of, I don't remember the prosim, but therefore, so when a person is bringing a chatas, who brings a chatas behema, a rich person, we put it on the top half to represent it was because of your gaiva, because you consider yourself on top, that you did that aveira. Do better. As opposed to the poor person, we do it on the bottom half, like what made you do the aveira might be because you feel like you're lowly and crushed and you're nothing, and therefore who cares if I do an aveira anyway. So we put his blood on the bottom half in symbolizing that, as opposed to the oila, the other way around. We tell the rich person, you're feeling very good about yourself, you're feeling elevated, but realize, be on the bottom half, have a sense of anivus, as opposed to the poor person, fakir, if we want to elevate him in his condition, something along those lines. So, chatas oif ketzer hoisin nasis. How do they do the chatas oif? Olala pevish ufana vasoge bolo vakem dremis mizrachis. This is in parenthesis, and it doesn't belong. And on the side of here, on a gross tzionim, it points out, first of all, we looked before that the malika can be done anywhere, so with a chatas oif, so it's not like it has to be done by the southeast corner, unlike the ola sa'if, where we said he has to throw the mura of a notza, a chatas oif is nothing that's thrown. Once he puts the blood on the mizbeach, the rest of it is eaten by the koyanim, as we're going to say. So therefore, there's no reason it has to be done by that corner. In addition, also, why is he going up to the server? The chatas oif is done on the bottom half. So those words don't belong. He would do malika. He would cut through the bird's neck with his fingernail. Mimul arpa on the side of the back of its neck. Now, unlike shchita, which is done from the front of the neck, malika is done specifically from the back of the neck. So ve'enei mavdil, and he does not separate the head from the body. Rashi learns that enei mavdil means that he only cuts through one simen of the two simanim, the windpipe and the esophagus. He cuts through only one of them. The Rambam learns differently. He does cut through both of them, but other than that, he leaves the muscles attached. He doesn't physically separate them. A couple of interesting points about why by bird korbanos we do malika, why not shchita. So there's a vort that I saw from Abzalman Sarotskin that says something along the line, a bird korban is usually brought by a poor person, so he might think, you know what, I'm tired of life, I just want it all over with, so we show him, you know what, dying is not that easy either, as opposed to shchita, which is quick and painless, malika is less so. But the chinuch says a different reason, the sefer chinuch says a different reason, he says, because again, it has to do with the fact that a bird is a poor person's korban, like this, if you have to do shchita, you have to go look for a knife. Like, by the opposed to malika, is done with the Kohen's own fingernail, which is always available. So that symbolizes when you have to help a poor person, help him on the spot. Don't go looking around for what you need to find in order to help him. Just do it as fast as possible. He squeezes from the blood of it onto the wall of the mizbeach, as we said before, near at the corner. But in other words, he holds the body of the chatas a little bit away from the mizbeach and squeezes the blood towards the mizbeach, so it's not caught in a keli like by an animal korban. It goes directly from the bird's neck. Pashtus falabatish, because there's so little blood in it that if you put it in a keli, there wouldn't be enough to sprinkle on the mizbeach. Shirei hadam ha'yismatza al yisoid. The remainder of the blood he would squeeze out, and it would go down to the Yisod. Remember, he's doing, Rashi points out, he's doing Lamata Minachut. He's doing on the lower half of the Mizeach. So there's nothing blocking from there until the Yisod, because the Sovid is further up than that. The Sovid is one Amma above the Chut HaSikra. So now, after doing the Hazzah, he squeezes, he takes the bird and squeezes and squirts the blood onto the Mizeach. Now he takes the body of the bird and presses it against the Mizeach to press out more of the blood against the wall. And it oozes down, and then and eventually it'll get to the Yisufin.
How would he?
Well, he's standing on the floor. He's standing on the floor of the Pashto. So when he's
raising his hand up.
No, the Yisod is at the base of the Mizbeach. So this is an Achatas Oif we're talking about. This is done on the bottom half of the Mizbeach. So the place to put the blood is any place within the lower five Amas of the Mizbeach. So now what he's doing is, again, he's standing on the Pashtus, he's standing on the floor.
Oh, okay, fine. I read Rashi.
Yeah, so
the Yisod
goes down, dribbles down to the Yisod, because there's nothing blocking it. If he had done it on the top half of the Mizbeach, he might end up doing it above the Sovid, and then it wouldn't go down to the Yisod, then it would pool on the Sovid. But like this way, he's doing it on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, below the Chut HaSikra. There's nothing between that and the Yisod, so it dribbles all the way down to the Yisod. The only thing of a chatas ha'os that the mizbeach gets is the blood. The kol ha'koinim, the entire thing is eaten by the koinim. There's no chelev, or there's no imurim or anything that's offered on the mizbeach. It all goes to the koinim. As we've talked about before, normally this kind of thing, melika, would usually render a bird nevela, and it would be also to eat. Here the Torah specifically says that the koinim should eat it. We're going to talk about later on, in a few blocks, we're going to have quite a bit of discussion about the whole matter of what happens if something went wrong during the melika of the korban, or what happens if the korban is possible for one reason or another. In what cases is a person actually going to become tamei from eating it? Because the Torah tells us if a person swallows a nevela of a kosher bird, it makes him tamei. We're going to be discussing that extensively in the next parent decision. Okay. So the Gemara says Tanya Rabbanan. We learned in a Braisa. Let's talk about these details of the Chatas Ha'oif. Tosfos, by the way, points out the next Mishnah is going to tell us about Oilas Ha'oif. The reason why we're doing Chatas Ha'oif first is because whenever you bring a Chatas and an Oila together, with one exception, the Chatas always comes first. The exception is when they bring Seiri Avodah Zarah, when the Seiri has to bring a Korban because they wouldn't Avodah Zarah by mistake. But other than that, whenever you're going to learn later on in the Masechta, that whenever you have a Chatas and an Oila brought together, then always the Chatas comes first. So the Gemara says Tanan Abanan. The pasuk says the pasuk is Vehizam Midam Hachatos. Here the Loshon Hapasuk is Vehizam Midam Hachatos Hakiram Mizbeach. He should squirt from the blood of the Chatos on the wall of the Mizbeach. Anisha Badam, and the leftover of the blood Yimotze or Yisodam Mizbeach should be drained down to the Yisodam Mizbeach. Chatos here is a Chatos. So now the Braisa is going to douse in this phrase by phrase. But when it says the hiza midama chatas, when it says you should squeeze from the blood of the chatas, that means migufa chatas, that means from the actual body of the chatas, not that he uses the keli or his finger or anything like that. He uses the bird itself as the vehicle to get the blood to the mizbeach. Okay, said, what does that mean? Oichas v'roish v'guf. It means he holds the head and the body, which remember have not been separated, umaze, and he squirts the blood. There's a different Gemara in Chulin where it brings this, and the Gemara asks with a Mai Ka'omar, that what does it mean? It sounds like he has to hold them both in his hand, but where is the Braisa getting that from? And it means that he holds one, and automatically he's holding the other, because again, they're still connected. Tosfos wonders why the Gemara doesn't ask the same thing over here. Anyway, so that's what it means, that he holds the actual bird itself and squirts the blood. When it says, Al-Kira Mizbeach, on the wall of the Mizbeach, we learn from that, V'loy Al-Kira Kevesh, he cannot be squirting it onto the wall of the Kevesh, V'loy Al-Kira Heichel, or on the wall of the Heichel, V'loy Al-Kira Ulam, and not on the wall of the Ulam. It has to dafka be on the wall of the Mizbeach. Which wall of the Mizbeach? Which wall? Zekira Tachtin, means the wall on the lower half of the Mizbeach. Now, Ori Eina Ella Kira Elyon, maybe it means the upper half. And you would think as follows, you would think to figure it out logically, an animal where an oila of an animal, the blood is applied on the bottom half of the mizbeach, and yet a chatas behema is different, and the blood goes on the top half, on the kronos. So then by a bird where the oila is done up above, as the Gemara is going to learn, we'll learn on Nandaf Samachay tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, ain't a din shechatos of a maila, shouldn't it be a kavachomer that a chatos of a bird should also be on the top half? No, Talmud Lomer. That is why the Torah continues. Vanisha badam yimotzo yisodem azbeach. The leftover of the blood should drain down to the yisodem azbeach. That means kiu shashirayim shalom is matzim the yisod. So it has to be a wall where the blood that drains from it is going to go down to the yisod. The azen, which one is that? Zekira tachton. Necessarily, that has to be the bottom half of the mizbeach, because of the top half, and again, you may have the so you may have the sozer in the way. You won't necessarily, strictly speaking, because you had the chutah sikra is one amma below the sozer. Later on, we're going to learn it is possible for the kohen to be standing on the sozer when it comes to an oila sozer and reach down and do the oila below where his legs are standing on the sozer, and it's still kosher for the top half. The mizbeach. So in principle, it could be the same thing with a hatas, but in practice, in practice, then we're not doing that. The whole area. What we mean is you want because it's either one half or the other. So it can't be the top half, because parts of the top half are not going to go down to the yisod, and therefore it can't be any of the top half. So therefore, necessarily, it's the bottom half. So the Gemara asks, "Of a nevin mi loy, v'hadu nevin mi tatoi." Maybe the Torah means that you should do some part of it on the top, and then the rest of it on the blood. Maybe the hazor should be on the top half with the chafasoyv, and the mitzui, the squeezing out the blood against the wall, should be on the bottom half. And the answer is, Amar Rava, miksiv yamse. The fact is, the Torah doesn't say yamse, that he should squeeze it out. Then yeah, it can mean the Torah is telling you, after you apply the blood by squirting to the top half, then yamse, take the bird and squeeze, and press it against the wall, in a way where it'll go down to the yisod. But it doesn't, yimotziv, it says, it will be drained. So therefore, so that means mameva mashma means something that automatically happens. So it doesn't mean that he should do a separate mitzui. It means, I mean, he is doing a separate mitzui, but it should be in a way where automatically it'll go down to the yisod, and that implies, in other words, so it's not do it first in one place and then do it in the other place. So it means the hazor as well has to be in a place where the blood, if it's going to drain downward, is going to wind up on the yisod. So therefore we learn that the hazor also has to be on the bottom half. The anisha badam, the leftover of the blood, meaning not just the leftover of the blood that he does the mitzui, but the leftover of the blood from the hazor, from that initial squirting, should also be able to drain down to the yisod, and the only way is it's going to be on the bottom half. Aside from that, anyway, the Gemara had pointed out earlier in the Masechta that you never find a korban where you have some of it has to be applied to the top half and some to the bottom half, although we said the shirayim, but we said the shirayim are not ma'akev. Here you could argue, actually, we learned previously, is the mitzui actually ma'akev? There was a discussion of Rishonim about that, whether if the mitzui was done in the wrong place, whether it's ma'akev, if the hazor was done in the proper place. So therefore, so it could still have been, but since the pasuk phrases it, you must say they're not. Okay. But you must say, Amar Rav Zutra bar Tshuvia Amar Rav. Ketzed Mokin Chatas Oif. How do they actually do the Malika? Oichas Gapos Vesteyetzvos. He holds the bird's wings between his two fingers. Well, it's sort of like holding tzitzis, yeah. So he holds the bird's wings with two of his fingers. Namely, Rashi explains the body of the bird is on the palm of his hand, inside his hand. Then he puts its two wings between the amma and the etzba, which is between the middle finger and the index finger. The two legs of the bird are between two other fingers, between Zeres and Kmitza, which is the little finger and the ring finger, right? So like that. He stretches out the neck of the bird on his two fingers. So Rashi explains, he sticks the neck in between his index finger and his thumb. And therefore, so now you have the throat of the bird is facing towards his thumb. He stretches it out on his thumb. Meanwhile, he needs to do malika on the back of the bird. And therefore, now the back of the bird, the back of the neck, is available for his thumbnail or molik, and then he does malika. The zu avoida kosher shel mikdash. This was the difficult avoida in the bis mikdash. So my zuhi betulah. You're telling me this was the only one? There were other ones. Well, you could knitza. What about the knitza of a mincha? So in particular, they're taking the handful of a mincha. Now the Gemara explains in Menachos, if it's a flour mincha, it's not so hard. But if it's a baked or fried mincha, then the kohen does the knitza with three fingers. Then he has to use his thumb and his little finger to get off the pieces that are sticking out. And it's a little bit stiff and it's a little bit hard to do that. So therefore, it becomes hard to do that.
Also, it's because you can't move your pinky without moving any other.
No, you can move your pinky.
It depends on the person.
You can't move your ring finger without moving any other finger. But yeah, your pinky you could actually. But yeah, maybe some people can't. I don't know. And the hafina, and you also have the taking the hands, double handful of the ketores, where the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to take the ketores and he has to take a spoonful of ketores, which is the size of his two cupped hands. Then inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he has to get all that ketores without spilling a drop from the spoon back into his cupped hands, and nobody else is with him in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so he has to put in his teeth and then bend downward, he has to rotate it between his knees, or throw it up into the air, and it turns upside down, whatever. It's also a difficult thing. They would have to train the Kohen Gadol for a week beforehand to do that. So we see there are many hard avodas in the Beis Mikdash. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ela Ema Zu Avoda Kosha May Avodas Koshas from Mikdash. Fine, we don't mean that it is the hardest avoda, but it means it's one of the hardest avodas. So yeah, you have all those three. What's so hard about it? So the Shittub Kubetis actually learns that what it means is he has to be holding the bird in his right hand, and he has to be doing the liquor with his right thumbnail as well, because the whole avoda has to be done with his right hand. Well, that's very difficult if he's got the bird positioned between his fingers like that, and then to be able to use his thumbnail to be able to cut through, then it's very difficult. So that's one way of understanding. The other way of understanding is, no, maybe he could actually, I skipped a couple of lines, actually, sorry. He holds the rings between his two fingers, or and his two legs between his other two fingers, so again, the rings between his middle finger and index finger, and the legs between his ring finger and his little finger, his pinky. And he spreads out his neck along the thickness of his thumb, and he does the malika. In a braisa we learn that the bird was on the outside, meaning Rav is describing that the bird was on the inside of his palm, and then it stretched out between his fingers like that. The braisa says the other way around, the bird would be on the outside of his hand. So oikel gap of v'shteyetz boys, where again then he holds two, so again, he puts the rings of it between two fingers, and he does malika. So according to Rav, it's inside his hand, and he uses the inside of his hand and the inside of his fingers to hold it, and it's sticking out, and the rings and the legs are sticking to the outside of his hand, whereas according to the Braisa, that's the other way around. The body of the bird is on the outside of his hand, and the rings and the legs are sticking to the inside. Either way, we said v'zuravod partial. From Mikdash, and we said it's one of the avodas cautious from Mikdash. So again, one way of understanding is that he has to hold it in his right hand and do malika with his right hand, which is very hard. The other way of understanding is, fine, he should hold the bird in his left hand, but Parshat, the malika itself is hard on the kohen. It means pressing through the bird's neck with his fingernail, it has to hurt. It resists, after all, it's a tough thing, so therefore, so Parshat, it hurts to be able to do that, to use his finger, to use his fingernail like that to push through. So that's the Chatas Oif. Oila Sa'oif takes it out of Nasus. The Mishnah continues. How do they do the Oila Sa'oif? Ola Lakevesh, he goes up the ramp, because again, an Ola Sa'oif is done on the top half of the Mizrach, upon a Soiviv, and he turns towards the Soiviv, which, as we learned actually on what Aleph Rashi holds, that if he's going to do it on the southeast corner, then sure, he does it on the Soiviv, but if he's going to do it on the southwest corner, he's not going to do it on the Soiviv, because then he has no easy way down, rather he'll go up to the top of the Mizrach, and Tosfos have disagreed with that. Anyway, Bola the Ken joins Mizrachis. He comes to the southeast corner because he said that's the preferable place to do the Ola Sa'if. Again, he does Malika on the back of the neck. Umavdil. This time he does separate, meaning according to Rashi, he cuts through both Simonim. And according to the Rambam, he physically separates the head from the body. There's an interesting quote from the Shemesh Shmuel that says, why this difference? Why is it by the Chata Sa'if we don't want to separate them, and by the Ola Sa'if we do? He says, because let's consider what a chatas versus an oila is brought for. A chatas is done a person did an aveira. An oila is done when a person, among other things, a person brings an oila when he had thoughts of aveira, he had a hurra aveira. Now, you have hirhurim begin in the brain, but we never talk about machshavos moichesh of them. The expression is always machshavos liboy. Why? Because as long as it's in the brain, fine, you know, it's things flip through and in and out of your brain all the time. The problem is when it goes into your heart, meaning when you start actually partaking in it. So therefore, so with an oila, we want to separate the head from the body, symbolizing, you know what, you have machshavos zaris, keep them in your head, don't allow them to come down to your body and your heart. Mashen kenachatos is the other way around. The person actually did an aveira, which makes him a fine. Not all chatos are for an aveira, but in principle, a chatos is for an aveira, meaning they actually did something wrong. So they were saying, fakert, we don't want to separate. Moyach shalat al alev, you need to be able to have that your head should be able to control your heart and prevent you from actually doing aveiras. Okay. So in the case of the oila, again, he would separate them. Umitzas damar kidam is there. He would squeeze out the blood onto the wall of the mizbeach. So unlike the chatos, where we said that first he does hazar, sweet squirting it from a distance, and then mitzui, with the oila, you only have mitzui. Not also roish. Next, he takes the head, because again, we said he separated the head from the body. The hikif basically cost of the mizbeach. He turns and presses the side of the head, the neck, where he had done the melika to the mizbeach, and presses out the blood from that onto the mizbeach as well. So first he did the blood from the body, and now he does the blood from the head. The sofri lamelach, then he dips it in salt. Sofri literally means he absorbs it with salt. So some of Foshim explain that sofri means like more like to wipe it on salt. Like you have like all of an estafa, like a person dries himself off. He wipes himself off with towels. So the same way over here, it means he wipes it in salt. Because of course, you know, as we know, all korbanos have to have salt on them. They had the elsewhere, the Gemara talks about they had different piles of salt all over the place. One of them being on the top of them is there precisely for this purpose, so that when they're doing the oil salt, they have salt right away available. So he does that. And he throws the head onto the fire. Now he returns to the body to deal with it. The haster is a mura ves a notes of he takes out the mura, which is the crop and the kupik, the gizzard, and the notza, which notza can mean, again, it can mean the feathers above them on the body, or it can mean the race that's inside the body. There's Vnema Aima Yotzimimon, and all of the other kishkis that come along with it, that are all attached to it. Vishlich on the base of Deshen, and he throws that whole thing to the base of Deshen, and as we learned on Omar Aleph, the Korean has to have tremendous strength to do that. The Sfasemis points out, by the way, in Balbakish question, he says, so why don't we, if we're saying it was so hard to do, and the Korean has to use unusual strength to do that, so tie something heavy to it, and then throw it. He says, no, because since the Pasuk says that Vishlich Oisoi, so it means you have to throw it by itself, not attached to anything else. I saw a vote, by the way, in this connection. According to the understanding that notza means feathers, why are we throwing out the feathers that are on top of that part of the body? The reason is because here Rashi is saying that you throw out those parts because the bird ate gezel, and we don't want gezel on the mizbeach. Well, often what causes a person to have a mentality that I should go steal is he wants notza, he wants feathers, he wants decoration, he wants luxuries in life. So therefore, we take that also and we throw it away. So he does that. They shlichel on the base hadeshen. He throws it to the base hadeshen, which, as we learned on about Aleph, is a few tfachim away, is 20 amos away from the wall on the mizbeach, and 3 tfachim away from the kentish. Shisav lo hivdil. Then at that point, he breaks the body of the bird in half, but without dividing it. So he's already separated the head from the body, but the body itself he doesn't divide into two. In hivdil kosher, if he does divide it, then it still is kosher, but he hasn't. Again, he puts it in salt for Zokhi Agabi Ishim, and he throws it onto the fire because it's an oil and it's completely gross. Now, what happens? Loi Heser Amura Valoya Notza, Ves Vename Aime Yotzinimam. What if he didn't take out the Mura Notza and the Kishkis that go with it? Valoi Sofka Vimelach. What if he didn't put salt on it? Doesn't matter. Kol Shashinaba, Ma'achash Mitzah, Zomok Sheda, anything that he changed after the Mitzah Adam. And then it'll be kosher. The same way as with an animal korban, once the blood is applied to the mizbeach, the korban is kosher. The same way over here, once the blood is applied to the mizbeach, then you're good. This hasn't fulfilled the rest of the mitzvah properly, but it's still b'di'evid. It's still b'di'evid kosher. Then the Mishnah continues. If he divided with a chatas and did separate the head from the body or cut through both simonim, or he did not do that with the oila, then he would actually make the korban posel because those are before the hazor and the mitzvah, and therefore those are ma'akiv, just like the shechita. If he only squeezed out onto the mizbeach the blood from the head, but not from the body, psula, then it'll be possible, because he got very little of the blood there. Mitzadama Gufala, Mitzadama Rosh Kshera, but if he did the body and not the head, then it's kosher because the body has the majority of the blood in it, and therefore, so at least he did the majority of it. The Gemara is going to douse him later on and daf samachay all these details, but that's how it is. And then the Mishnah is going to continue, which will continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, with dinim about lishmoy and shaloi lishmoy and pigul and posel and all that by bird korbanos, just like we talked about earlier in the Masechta about animal korbanos. Everyone.
Yeah. Not my brother.
No, that's Avram Moshe Alexander. He used to be a regular in person by my shear, but then he moved out of town. But he still joins my phone. So I'm fine with it.